everybody, and welcome back for our second episode of our podcast, In AI We Trust? Today we will be analyzing economic and sociological implications of a digital shift in the legal domain. But let us start with a little case study to understand what this actually is about. Henry, could you introduce to us what we will be case studying today?
So today we're going to be looking, we're going to look at two examples, but first we're going to take a trip to Germany, where in 2019 there was a decision by the courts to allow a debt collection agency to continue their services as planned. And so this sounds very abstract, and you might think, okay, what does this have to do with law? Well, we're going to go into it right now. So the name of this website where you can go is called wenigermiete.de, which basically just means, lessrent.com. And what you can do on this website is you can put in your information about, you know, where you live and see whether you are being charged too much rent based on, you know, how much rent other people in your same area and with similar living conditions are being charged. And if you are in fact being charged too much, this AI service will be able to basically tell you, you have a legal right to demand, your money back. And so this is kind of a tricky situation because you have this debt collection agency that, you know, uses AI, and in a way, on the one hand, it's just using, analyzing data to tell you, whether you're paying too much rent or not. But it is actually going that one step further of presenting some sort of a legal service. It's going that one step further and saying, yes, you have a right, and actually it's actually going to help you then file a lawsuit that you are being charged too much rent. And what the courts decided was that basically that this case of wenigermiete.de, they should be allowed to continue this sort of business model. And I mean, this has massive implications also for all sorts of business models. I mean, when you think about, if your flight was canceled and you want to get your money back, there's a website called FlightRight, for example, where you can calculate how much money you're owed and help get that money back from the businesses. So and these to some extent are legal services. And what's really interesting about this sort of model is, there aren't really any lawyers immediately involved. I mean, that would be the alternative, would be to hire a lawyer. But in this case, it's not the case. What's also interesting is, in this business model of wenigermiete.de, rather than like a lawyer that would charge hourly, you get 2/3 of the money that you got from your lawsuit, and 1/3 goes to the company, and the company only gets money when they were successful. So there's like a success fee, which is actually not allowed for lawyers. Lawyers aren't allowed to charge such a success fee. And so what do you think? How are those implications of that kind of a system?
Well, there seems to be a comparative advantage for the AI system, right? They seem to be more convenient, and also because paying them is only an obligation if the case was successful. So if their service was actually given and given the proper way,
the client doesn't have any risk
and any obligation. They're not accountable. They don't need to pay, which is a great thing for accessibility to legal services, actually, because if you think some legal services are so expensive that many people cannot actually afford them, which make you have lawyers who are paid hourly wages that are huge and that are so expensive that only the richest ones can afford to have legal protection, which should be a right. Quality legal protection should be the right of anyone, really. So this has huge implications for accessibility to legal services and for all the economics of it, right? Because everyone could then have access to legal services much more easily.
Anyone with internet, right? That's the one.
That's the one thing to say.
And that leads us actually right into our next case, which even goes really one step further. It's an app. It's called Courtroom 5. And what this app can do is, you know, I tried it out actually, and it's very user friendly. What it does is there's a section where you can, first of all, it's kind of you can learn, like, educate yourself about the litigation process if you're not really sure, you know, about how it works and kind of what legal steps you need to take. And then there's also a section where you can do legal research to learn that what claims you should make and the defenses that you should assert. And then there's also a final module that actually helps you create the documents and create the pleadings, which you can then file by a court. And the whole thing is supervised by an AI called Sylvia. And so this is really talking about, yeah, there needs to be some sort of solution for those who cannot afford a lawyer. And what it basically allows you is it allows you to defend yourself in court using, like, this AI assistance.
It pretty much sounds that these new systems are being implemented. It's like the shift towards the democratization of law. Which usually, by the prices and the high demand that they have and the low competition they perhaps these sectors have, these open the access to all these people to defend themselves, which is a right.
And I mean, the legal system, I mean, especially in the US, it's so bureaucratic and complicated. I mean, ideally you just go to court, you present the facts and the judge makes a decision, but, you know, in reality, you know, legal proceedings, you know, before you even hear the facts, you need to navigate yourself through this court system and through hearings that even just allow you to present those facts. And so in that sense, you know, you have this AI now that can bring you step by step through that entire system. And the person who developed this, you know, it's an African-American woman in the US. And, you know, she had so many just problems where she thought she was getting screwed over and she couldn't afford legal assistance. Eventually, I mean, she comes from an educated background, so she was able to help herself. But, you know, it becomes, you know, she just felt lost in it and she decided to develop this app. And it's not just African-Americans in the US who desperately, you know, need legal assistance way too frequently, unfortunately, and just simply don't have the resources. I mean, think of, for example, immigrants who come to a new country and don't speak the language and need to file this paperwork and you know, these sort of online legal assistance, you know, can really, really help somebody to very quickly, you know, draft these documents and not have to hire lawyers who maybe don't even speak the language at the end of the day.
So in this light, to start with, a shift to a digital AI for legal services and in the legal field seems good, right? Because it seems more, as Mario rightly said, it seems more democratic.
But that's a really important aspect of the rule of law in general.
Absolutely.
You can't have a society that's running the rule of law if you're not giving everyone a fair trial.
A fair trial. I agree. But then let's try to get into some of the details of more digital shifts about the labor market, right? We mentioned in class this term, Schumpeter and creative destruction, right? And that's really what it seems to be about. There's a destruction of some jobs because obviously, you know, you have less lawyers and some certain things are being digitalized, but also there's a creation. There seems to be a creation of through this shift to a more digital labor market and so on, there seems to be a certain creation of new jobs, which could also work. Mario, what do you have to say about this?
Like, we could argue that nowadays the legal firms work upon like an army of paralegals and professional researchers, and it's also a great cause for these firms, which obviously it's a great part of the price that people pay for their defense. And if this happens, if this creative destruction actually happens, in theory, it would bring welfare to all these people, perhaps by the prices or also by the efficiency that the new services, the new legal services will bring.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think this means immediately that there's no need for lawyers anymore on the market. I mean, really what we're looking at is, you know, even these companies like Venigamita.de and Courtroom 5, I mean, they're still, you know, they're legally required to have lawyers behind those algorithms that are helping program them. And so really we're seeing that there needs to be some sort of, you know, lawyers, they need to start embracing the software. This needs to be started to be taught to lawyers in when they're going to university, when they're going to law school. They need to you know, redevelop the types of assets they have and get familiar with the software so that they can kind of take part in this new generation of what it means to be a lawyer.
You know, the OECD has done a publication about artificial intelligence in, for example, work, innovation, productivity, skills. And one of the conclusions about the recent developments in AI is that there are new fears exactly about that, about large-scale job loss. And because there will be automation of, you know, a rapidly expanding set of tasks, for example, in the legal system as well. However, theoretically, we could say that the impact on wages is for the moment a bit ambiguous because it depends how we're going to use that that AI, which specific jobs are going to be created or destroyed, right? But we don't exactly know yet how these non-routine tasks, as for example the task of a lawyer, which is interpretative, how will the wages for these tasks actually move? The OECD report tells us that it's a bit ambiguous because on the one hand you could have, you know, these jobs being more valued, so you could have, since some tasks will be routinized, well, on the one hand you could see that, you know, higher hourly wage, but also there will be more competition because all the people not working in, you know, routinized tasks that will be automated could also shift towards that. They'll have to develop these skills that will be considered, you know, employable, not only knowing how these machines work, but also being the best of best in the interpretative part, because there will be higher competition for that, because some all the lawyers are just going to be shifting towards that very interpretative part and not the part that will be routinized and, you know, dealt with by AI. So, you know, there's a increased competition as well, which we have to take into account. And, you know, new skills considered employable. If we have this shift now, what do we do with current lawyers who maybe do not have those skills yet? There has to be some training. The labor market is going to shift. Will that mean, you know, higher demand for better skills? Would that mean higher demand for services like Venigamita.de? Or will that mean, you know, lower demand for lower skilled jobs? What does that actually mean for the people working in the legal system is also a question that hasn't been really tackled yet, but there have been some research and some, you know, publications about this, because it seems to be rather ambiguous. We'll have to see in the future. There are no safe predictions to be made.
But it is also important to understand that the legal field is not known as a field that changes. It probably through the years of technology, it has exempted itself from changes. For example, the litigation we mentioned before, it really doesn't change, and this disruptive currents are the first to contribute to a change.
It's going to revolutionize the way the legal system works. I mean, right now the legal system, it's something that, you know, it's a business. The legal system is set up for lawyers as a business, right? It's constructed in a way so that lawyers can make profit. And that's going to change. That's going to change because if people can start representing themselves, it's going to be big. I think it's also still important to mention that, you know, lawyers, they can still use AI as an assistant. You know, it's not necessarily always a question of replacement. You know, maybe you can use this AI as an assistant in a way that's going to make your workflow more efficient, make it more, make you more effective, make you, and that's going to be something that's going to increase overall welfare without necessarily replacing the job of the lawyer entirely.
Also, it would be very important to mention that we're talking about the big firms that will probably will increase their efficiency, but what about the public offices that are most likely understaffed? This would be a surplus, a benefit for a even greater social benefit.
That's very true. That's a good point. What about the courts of justice, where you have that are overwhelmed with cases? Such a good point. What for them, having someone doing the quick things, routinized things for them, would be just an asset, really.
The usage of this technology will most likely be a, not using it would be a legal malpractice. And that's
a very good point. Yeah, I mean, if you have access to these types of technologies that can better your legal decision making, what do you do? Are you even allowed not to use them anymore?
It will be normalized.
Yeah,
exactly. So there's a new normalization of
interactions and work. Required to work to do the best work they can to defend. Like if they have evidence that they, you know,
I mean, it's really an ethical concern. In fact, in 2020, the ABA Commission on Ethics, you know, added tech savvy to the criteria for legal competence. So, you know, it can be really unfair to clients, and you can have a malpractice suit if you do not know how to competently use the technology to the best of your ability.
It sounds like we could conclude that this new shift of artificial intelligence integrating into the legal system as we know it, it will bring more accessibility, of course, such as being a shift for jobs. And this also can mean that new skills will be needed, will be required and demanded. So it translates into a different training that lawyers will need to undergo. As the system changes, the lawyers will have to change. But for the aspect of wages, it's still very unclear, as the study said.
But I think you're right, but apart from looking at the greater utilitarian picture, we also have to look at, you know, distributional things. Because what about the people whose jobs will be destroyed? What about their welfare? You know, overall welfare might increase, but what about private welfare? So in that idea, I think that, you know, having something, new policies for these people, an ethical framework that kind of protects those jobs that will be eliminated in the legal field is more than essential right now. Redistributional policies and so on.
Yeah, regulation would be an important part, a key part for this shift. For example, the OECD report also mentioned that because there's ambiguities, there can also be a scenario where competition decreases. In the sense that it could actually create an entry barrier to this market. Because if lawyers aren't able to keep up with the new efficiencies, with the new developments, perhaps we will see more monopolies.
But that's exactly why we need better, you know, redistributive policies to also, you know, be able to protect in case the impact on wages was terrible for lower skilled jobs, those who will have that impact, will suffer that impact on the labor market. But before we conclude, there is an important part we should mention about what a shift in the labor market actually means, about a shift in our societal ties, about how we, our values, how we work together. And here I want to quote the Hungarian economic sociologist Karl Polanyi, who said that the market is embedded in society, which means that institutions, networks, and everything that happens frames economic relations, and economic relations are embedded and frame what happens in societal contexts and interactions. So the key question here is, what does a shift to an AI-governed labor market in law say about the evolution of our societal ties? And more precisely, how will this shift impact the way we interact together on the labor market, or even at work, really? How will such a digital shift in the labor market impact how we work with the people who are around us.
What exactly do you mean at work?
For example, sitting in your lawyer office. What about if your colleague or your secretary is now a robot? What about if that shift has happened in that labor market? How will you interact with the person? What does that say about the evolution of your norms, of your values, of how you work, of how your work ethic, really?
Or even just very fundamentally, like social ties. I mean, you know, are we working, are we getting into this even more bureaucratic kind of world where, you know, we don't, it's not about teamwork anymore, you know, it's just about
what problem you can solving do. Yeah. And automation and
yeah.
Quickly, absolutely. So to conclude, we still don't have answers, not in the economic field, but also not in the sociological field. So many studies still have to be made about what such a shift would actually mean. What would it come down to? How would people start working? How would our societal ties evolve? And how would the labor market change? So many questions to which we still don't have an answer, but that's still a very worth exploring, really, and just having a look at them to try and understand what the implications of a digital shift in the legal field could be still remains very interesting.
So now we've really talked about the kind of the side of AI, where we're talking about how can we look at the legal or the litigation process and make that more efficient? What's the work of lawyers looking like, and how is it going to affect the consumers? But now we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to look at the side of AI that might actually be responsible for the legal decisions that are being made in court. More specifically, like, you know, can an AI really replace a judge? We talked about lawyers, but what about a judge? And so that's what we're going to be talking about in our next episode. So stay tuned, and hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll see you next time.